I want to do something today that I want you to pray for me as I do this. I believe with all of my heart that we are really living close to the end of time. And whatever Jesus is going to do, whatever man is going to do, and whatever Satan is going to do to bring this thing together, it's soon going to come to a close. If we can just hang on a little while longer, we shall soon see the King. Place with that the idea, though, that so many people do not have that same conviction. All you have to do is just look at the church pews, and it is evident that there must be many more people who are not interested in the end of time than there are those who are. But thank God you are interested in what's coming, and you are making preparation for Jesus' return. So as I talk to you today, there's a sincerity that I have that I want to come through in the message. And what I want to do today, as I said, I've never tried to do this. I have read other men's sermons. I have drawn from other men's sermons. But when I think about the Apostle Paul, we don't really have a complete package of his material other than what we have recorded in Scripture. And I have to tell you that when you read things that Paul has written and things that are written for him, he doesn't always, he never really follows the traditional model of an introduction and a body and then a conclusion. And he must have been a little bit older, because his mind would sort of wander too. He would go off on a little side trip and bring it back, and go off on another side trip. But he has a lot to say about the resurrection. And so today, if you will allow me, I want to present a sermon, hopefully with some of the details of the Apostle Paul wrapped up in it. And cut me just a little bit of slack. If we get out a little bit chronologically, or maybe a little bit of Stoverism comes through, I mean, after all, it's difficult to prove that Paul was from southern Jerusalem, okay? But for the springboard of our material today, if you would like to go to Acts chapter 17, this is sort of where I would like to take off with the resurrection according to the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to present this as if I were in Athens, Greece. A few years ago, Debbie and I had the privilege of being in Athens, Greece. Today, it's a modern town filled with all the amenities of any city over here. It's very large. We saw some of the tourist sites, such as the Parthenon. We saw the Areopagus, the very place, the big stadium where Paul would be found preaching. And of course, it's in disrepair today, a very large Colosseum, and you only see what's left of it. But Paul went there, and he had sent word for Timothy and for Silas to come and join him. But on the way into the city, he was very, very filled with the Holy Spirit, and he just could not keep quiet, okay? So, if I could sort of move now into the words of the Apostle Paul. In verse 16, I'm going to read Acts 17 in verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Friend, won't you come here? Come on over here, if you will. Let me talk to you just a little bit. Hey, you over there riding the donkey, would you come over here just for a second? You there carrying the baskets, come over here. I got something I want to talk to you about. Now, always in Paul's writings, two things are clear. He has strong conviction. Every word he says, he utters it with deep sincerity. He believes in what his message is. He has deep conviction, and he also gives it with expediency, as if it's today, it's going to happen today. The appeal is always built into today. So he always had strong conviction and strong appeal in everything that he said. So, won't you listen to me just for a few minutes? I got something that you've got to hear. As the crowd gathers in front of Paul, eventually the leaders come along and they say, "Is this new?" And he says, "It's new to you, brother, but it's not new to me." And they spent their time examining new truth, new thinking. The most advanced scientific doctrine had to go through those people, and it was usually promoted down at the stadium, the Areopagus. "Paul, won't you come and go with us? We want you to speak to everybody." "Sure, I want to go with you." And so I find myself standing in front of hundreds of people. I find myself speaking to Stoic philosophers. I hear them say to me, "You are just a babbler. What do you as a babbler have to say?" Somebody else said to me, "You're talking about foreign gods." But really, what I was talking about was the true God of heaven. So I stood there in that stadium. I never dreamed that God would allow me to speak to so many people. And I brought up the idea that while I was visiting through the city here, I saw what you worship. You have all kinds of temples here dedicated to all different kinds of gods. But I found one altar. This is in verse 23. I found one altar that had an inscription on it, "To the unknown God." Now, I know every one of you people out here must be religious people, because all of the city of Athens is filled with places to worship and ways to worship. And I see people bringing gifts to the altar and to these false temples. I say false, and don't get mad at me so quickly. But I think I know who just might be that unknown God. Hey, you, don't leave. Please don't leave yet. Let me finish. This unknown God is the God that I want to tell you about, because I've seen him. I've met him. If any of you have ever traveled over Jerusalem way, if you've heard about the ways of the Hebrews, they worship this Jehovah God. Well, now they're part of the Hebrew people who worship in a religion called Christianity. There is a Jesus that I have seen. But before I saw him, please don't leave, close the door, please don't go yet. Before I saw Jesus, I was such a strict Hebrew. I was a better Hebrew, I was a better Jew than anybody else could ever have been. And I was so mad at those Christian people who were worshiping this Jesus God, I got pieces of paper, I got letters of authority, and I hate to tell you, but I'm responsible even for some people being put to death because of the worship of this Jesus. Please listen to me. I've seen him. I know he's real. At that time, I didn't know him. I was on my way to the city of Damascus. I had a handful of papers. I had a body of men with me, and we were going to catch some more Christians and put them in prison. But suddenly, I saw a bright light, so bright, it blinded me. I fell on my knees on that dusty dirt road, and I cried out. I saw him. I saw this Jesus in the light so bright, and then I became blind. I had a conversation with him. Oh, you didn't have a conversation with him. You're just a babbler. Fellows, listen, let me finish my story. I did. I heard him say to me, "Why are you punishing me? Why are you attacking me?" The Jews would understand that as kicking against the pricks. For 3 days, I was blind. I couldn't see. I had to grope around with my arms out like this. I had to take baby steps everywhere I went. There were big things on my eyes. I don't know what they were. They just looked like, they felt like scabs and scales from an animal, something all over my eyes. It was while I was blinded that this supernatural God that you don't know much about had sent to a man in vision. His name was Ananias, and told him to come and speak to me, and he did. This man came to me, and he said, "Now, Saul, that's what my name used to be, but my name was to be changed to Paul." He said, "Jesus has his eye on you, Jesus has called you, and Jesus has sent me to you to tell you this." I had a transformation. Something happened in my mind, in my heart. I know you guys call it mind sometimes. Sometimes you call it your heart interchangeably. Hey, don't leave. Please don't leave yet. Let me finish. I promise you won't be disappointed. Come on back in. Sure, come on. My eyes were healed instantly with a blink of a finger. I could see wonderfully good, although it at times is difficult for me to write small. But I got my vision back. I was filled with this desire that Jesus is real. I began to study. I spent time with people who had been with God. I met a man named Peter. Now, you've not seen him yet. Some of you may have heard about him. But I saw some miracles take place. I heard of them happening. There was a man who had been bedridden for 8 years. He was completely paralyzed. Peter went over to that man and prayed for him, and immediately he just got up and he walked around. Is there anybody here in this stadium ever seen such a thing as that? There was another lady. Her name was Dorcas. She was a wonderful Christian lady in our faith, and she made clothing for people. She got sick and died. She was ready to be buried, if you please. And my friend Peter went to her, and holding her hand, he prayed, he talked to this God up in heaven that you call the unknown God. And that lady who was dead came back to life again. Please listen to me, dear people here in Athens, Greece. If you would believe in this God of heaven, he would change your life. He would give you hope for the future. He would bless you and he would bless your family and your children. And he will begin doing it today. But what about this Jesus? I know some of you have heard part of his story, how that he was born of a virgin mother named Mary. His father's name was Joseph. He grew up like any other young kid around Bethlehem and Nazareth and Jerusalem. But when he became older, his life was so pure and so holy. When John the Baptist baptized him, and some of you have seen a baptism from the past where a person is taken down into the water and brought back up again. That same God that I'm telling you about sent a dove. A voice was heard that said, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." I am so glad that in my meanness, God saw fit to find me. And I'm here today as a messenger to you. I want you to know the same God that I've come to know. I want you to experience the same power that I have come to experience. But please don't leave just yet. Have you ever heard about the resurrection? This Jesus that grew up and never did anything wrong in his life. Ha! Yes, you can believe it. He was eventually killed. They trumped up some lies and charges against him. The old mean devil was behind it. They placed him on a cross on Easter weekend. Yeah, it takes the name of paganism, but the meaning is far from paganistic. They placed him on the cross. And Friday afternoon, a couple of his friends took him down and placed him inside a borrowed tomb. Have you ever known anybody who came back to life? Have you, sir, ever met anyone who was in the grave and came out again? Well, I'm here today telling you that it's a real story because I have seen this Christ. Here's what happened. He lay in that tomb all of Friday evening, all day on the Jewish Sabbath. He lay there all of the first part of Sunday morning, what you might call the first day of the week. Just before daylight, the supernatural beings called angels, and some of you believe in angels and some of you don't, but I've seen them. They came to that tomb where Jesus was buried, and a round rock had been rolled in front of that tomb, and they rolled it away. And the very angel who took Satan's place in heaven spoke the words, "It's time to come out. The Father calleth for thee." Now I know you people here in Athens, Greece don't understand this, and I don't understand it all either. But this man Jesus said that he had power to lay down his life and power to take it up again. And as that angel spoke the words, another angel had unwrapped the linen cloths off of his body, and that man, Jesus, came forth from the grave. And I've seen him. He came out of that tomb, sucking in fresh air, and letting it back out. There were some other people that had ran to the tomb early to see him that morning. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the mother of James and Salome and James and John, a bunch of people went to that tomb to see him. But they got there and he wasn't there. He was gone because of the resurrection. I'm telling you people here in Athens, Greece today, there's something real about this story. This God is different than your gods made out of wood and of stone and of silver and of gold. Will you believe me? I have seen this Jesus. He was dead. He was sworn to death. The armies of the Roman government had sealed the tomb. No doubt he was dead. But there's no doubt that he came back to life again in the resurrection. Why, in one place he was seen by 12 disciples. He was seen by over 500 people at one time. And I have to tell you, only by the graciousness and the goodness of God have I been able to see him as well. But I know he's real. I've seen him. I've spent my life telling the story of Jesus' life and of his death and of his resurrection. And if you will believe in it, you people of Athens, Greece, and of Chatsworth, Georgia, it will change your life. It will bless your family. It will take you today, wherever you are, whatever is happening in your life, into a better and another life to come. Can I tell you people here today what I'm going to tell the people over at Rome when I get there? Someday I'm going to visit Rome. Listen to this. Have you ever heard the history? How we got from meanness, how we got from goodness to meanness? Has anybody ever stood in a stadium and tried to tell you how the origins of evil are contrasted with the origins of good? Well, I think I know the answer. But because of the scriptures of this God given to us from the Hebrew people, I'm going to try to explain this over to the people in Rome as soon as I can get over there. But in the beginning, man was perfect. And then sin came along. And now everybody does wrong. It's like it's in their nature. Professing to be wise, they become like fools. And they change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. That's kind of how worship has evolved. And you find yourself now as worshipers of idols made of wood and gold and stone and silver and gold. But God does not live in those kind of temples. Now, because of the resurrection of Christ, God wants a man's body to become a temple. As you walk, you are a mobile temple. God within you, a hope of glory. That's the reason that part of the message that I've been telling people, part of the gospel message is that if you have room for Christ in you, then the old wickedness and the meanness and the corruption of bad habits, that is replaced by the presence of God. And I wish I had time to talk to you today about another topic, the Holy Spirit. That's what really grabbed me and changed me from becoming a persecutor to somebody who could really believe and teach and be a messenger of the resurrection of Christ. Hey, guy, please don't leave. Come back. I'm almost done. Don't leave. Today in this stadium, if you were willing, whatever your faith and whatever your belief has been, you can talk to this same God. This Jesus that I'm telling you about, who was resurrected, he eventually ascended up to his Father in heaven. He's up there right now. And through his messengers, he's getting a crowd of people ready to take to that place that we call heaven. I see some of you are growing older. I see the color of your hair. I see some of you are crippled. Would you not like to live in a place where no one is ever sick, no one ever grows old, and no one ever dies, where there is no pain? You cannot sit there and tell me if that were possible, you would not want to go there. Yes, you would. Please don't leave. Stay with me. I'm almost finished. I declare unto you this day a risen Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. If you will talk to Him, you can do it even silently, and He's so great a God, He hears you. If you will talk to Him verbally, He will hear you. He has thousands of unseen messengers that he can send to sit beside you. Will you consider the worship of the resurrected Lord today? Would you just open up your mind and consider the fact that there just might be a living God? If you will give Him a little bit of attention, I promise you, dear friend, He will give you all of His resources. Although you've never met Him, He loves you. Although you may have never fully served Him deeply and honestly, He's got a life planned for you. A life that begins today, but never ends throughout all eternity. Don't you want to know some more about Him? Wouldn't you like to tell your family this beautiful story? It won't happen in my lifetime. But someday there will be a book. Yes, you writers here in Athens, Greece, your story may even be found in the book. There will be a book that will take the same message that I'm giving you in person today. It's available to you today in Hebrew. It's called the Old Testament. But someday, all the acts that we're doing shall be recorded as well. If you are willing, I promise you that God is willing. If you will make a purpose in your heart today, at least to just seek it out, to find some more information, you will never regret it. It changed my life. And so today, as your friend and your visitor in the city of Athens, Greece, I proclaim to you the resurrection of Jesus and the resurrection of your own life should you choose to serve Him. Loving Father, today we thank You for the resurrection of Christ and the whole story of redemption, one that we don't study often enough, do not share enough with those that we love. Please, today, in this congregation, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I openly admit here, I've not always lived as I should. But Lord, I openly admit as well, from this day forth, I want to live as Jesus would have me live. Save us for that eternal kingdom, dear Lord. And let the words of the Apostle Paul and other great people of faith be those that we give much attention toward. We too look forward to the words, "Thy Father calleth for thee." Let us hear them soon. In Jesus' name.